Friends, Good Friday is about outrageous love. Now, I was watching a show on A Current Affair, or a program on it, a story, in fact, a number of years ago. It was about a young man who had been drunk, and he drove his car, caused an accident, which led to the death of a young girl. Charged with manslaughter, found guilty. But the judge took into account his previously unblemished record, was put on a good behaviour bond for a number of years. The parents obviously were outraged. Their daughter was lost. This man seemed to have got out scot-free. They decided to sue for damages incurred by the loss of their child. Back to court, and the judge this time came out with a very unusual and quirky sentence. The young man was to pay the parents $1 a week for a certain number of years. In fact, what he had to do was write a cheque for $1 and make it out in the name of the deceased child and pay it on the day of the week that he had killed her. I think it was a Friday. Can you imagine every Friday taking out your chequebook and a pen, writing a dollar and the name of the child whose life you had taken? After a few months, he stopped making the payments. Current Affair followed up the story. What's wrong? Why couldn't you even make the payment of $1 a week? That's not much considering what has taken place. And he said, it's not having to pay a dollar that I object to. In fact, I'll pay anything. I'll spend the rest of my life in prison, he said. I'd rather sacrifice anything rather than write those checks. He went on to explain that writing those checks was a constant reminder to him that he hasn't been forgiven and he never will be forgiven. He said, I just want to know that they forgive me. I would do anything for that. It's tough to handle life unforgiven, isn't it? And don't we all crave for forgiveness? Maybe a word that we have spoken that has hurt someone, maybe unfaithfulness in marriage, maybe lying. Maybe, who knows what it may be, but something you have done and you know that you don't live rightly and you don't measure up to God's standards and you definitely don't even measure up to your friend's standards and you know that you're guilty and you wish that someone would forgive you. Well, I've got a message of outrageous love and forgiveness this morning. Because unlike the parents who then took this young man back to court, Jesus wrote one big check on the cross, picture the check, and he wrote, paid in full with his own blood. Friends, the message of Good Friday is that despite your sins and my sins, your failures and my failures, and the sins and the failures of the world, and we see the gruesome failures right across our globe, and all types of sins and failures, Jesus says, I so love you, I'm so outrageous in my love, you don't deserve this, but I will die on a cross in your place. But what it does remind me also, not only about God's outrageous love, is that I am not as good as I think. How about you? Sorry to tell you this morning, but you're not as good as you think. You too are a failure, a moral failure. You too fail to be perfect. I'm not sure if anyone would raise their hands if I asked whether you were perfect here this morning. I think most of us would keep our hands in our pockets, right? We've all failed in different ways. And we need a saviour, and his name is Jesus. And we see Jesus' outrageous love demonstrated in his encounter with the two criminals on the cross. Picture these two men, and we're told that they're thieves, criminals. We're not sure what crimes they committed, but sufficient to be nailed to a Roman cross. And they are hanging up on that cross, and it's not easy to hang up on a cross, by the way. They've got nails as thick as your fingers hammered through their hands and through their feet. They are hung up, half naked, almost completely naked in fact, on a cross which stands almost 5 metres high. There's a small crowd gathering around them. They are pushing up, struggling to breathe and to stay alive. Every word that they speak is difficult to speak. There's Jesus and there are these thieves next to him. And they're separated by quite a distance. So keep this in mind. When they speak, they need to almost call out so they could hear each other. And there are people watching them. They are dying with Jesus. How do they respond to this Jesus? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27 and verse 44, we're told something that some people are not aware of, and it's this. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Did you hear that? The robbers. In fact, both of them, both of these men who have been crucified under the judgment of Rome, are heaping insults on Jesus, the Son of the Living God. In the middle. Tragedy often reveals a person's character, and these men had none. They slandered Jesus with their last breaths. You're a king. What type of king are you? Life's pretty tough on messiahs these days. What about a miracle? We're not given all the insults, but we're told that they heap insults on him. You can just imagine what they might say to this Jesus. Now, you would expect that from a Pharisee, right? They wanted him dead. They accused him of blasphemy. You'd expect that of them. You'd expect it from the crowd who've just been whipped up into a frenzy and they want Jesus dead rather than Barabbas, the criminal who was released. You'd expect it from the Roman authorities. They don't really know what's going on, but they're just executing what seems to be an evil person to them. But the ones who are dying with him, it's like two men with nooses around their necks ridiculing the plight of the third. It's like two prisoners of war before a firing squad turning to the other and mocking the other one. What type of character do they have? How evil are they? And on the cross, every muscle, and this is what I find astounding, every muscle in their body screams for relief. Their legs contort and twist, seeking comfort. But there's no comfort on the cross. And yet, they attack Jesus. And Jesus doesn't retaliate. They mock him. They beat him. They place him up on a cross. And even with the insults that come his way, he does not retaliate. They put the name King of the Jews, and he is in fact the King of the Jews, on the cross above his head. The man they mock is half dead. The man they mock is at peace. And Jesus says, Luke 23, verse 34, to all those who have executed him, those who have been part of this plan to put him up on a cross and have placed him there, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. Friends, that's outrageous. How do you have the strength and the energy to be dying on a cross, struggling to breathe, and say, and look at what people are doing to you, the insults are coming in your direction, rather than fighting back and want to take, hit someone or do something or scream? He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And then they divide up his clothes by lot. They gamble over his clothes. He's forgiving them, offering forgiveness, and they're gambling for his clothes. They sneer at him. They offer him wine vinegar to mock him. If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself. And one of the criminals called out, aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. In the presence of Jesus, nothing has changed for this man. But something happens in one of the other criminals, the other thief. Rather than continuing to insult Jesus, he says, don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. He is honest about his failings. He knows he's not a good man. He says, I deserve to be on the cross. I'm getting what I deserve. He says to the other man, you're complaining about this guy. Man, we're here because we deserve it. He has done nothing wrong. You think, hold on, what's happened to this guy? How did he get that revelation? How did he get that understanding? A moment ago, in Matthew's gospel, they are both insulting Jesus, and now he is standing up for Jesus. Maybe he's heard the words of Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Maybe he's watched the calmness and the peace by which Jesus handles this difficult situation. Maybe he hears in Jesus words of grace and love, outrageous love and forgiveness, and it's awakened in him the reality that he is a sinner, that Jesus is God's King. And then he dares to ask for forgiveness. In one sense, how dare he ask for forgiveness? A criminal who deserves to be on a cross, and you're asking for forgiveness? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He realized Jesus is a king. He reigns and rules. There's a kingdom. Ultimately, there's a place called heaven. And he said, Jesus, when you come as king, as ruler, please remember me. Let me in. And some of us would think, surely not. What type of love would forgive even a man like that? Can't trust bedside conversions, can you? He's lived a bad life all his life, and he just prays a prayer in his final 2 minutes of his life, and he's into heaven. That can't be right. There's your deathbed conversion there. And what did Jesus say to him? You've got to be joking, fella. After what you said and did, forget it. No, he didn't say that at all, in case you don't know the end of the story. He didn't say that at all. He said, I tell you the truth. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Friends, the gospel is outrageous. The love of Christ is just outrageous. It shouldn't happen like that. It shouldn't happen that the Son of the living God goes to the cross for us. That speaks of grace and love and mercy and forgiveness. It says that there's a God who made you, but a God who loves you deeply, who will do anything to win you back to himself. And he says, stop doing things your own way. Stop living in sin and disobedience. Stop chasing the dreams of this world. Turn back to me. Do I love you? Look at the cross. What do you mean, do I love you? Look at the thief on the cross. Today you'll be with me in paradise. It's outrageous. It's unbelievable. That's what God is like. But how can he do that? Why can he do that? Why does he just let this criminal off scot-free? How does he just let him into his heaven like that? Because it just doesn't happen just like that. The Bible says it was about the sixth hour and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, symbolic now that we can have access into the presence of God. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Did you notice that even in his final moments, Jesus is in control? His death is not an accident, planned before the creation of the world to bring salvation to the lost people. The reason Jesus could say to this man, you'll be with me in paradise, because Jesus was about to die and take the punishment for his sins, as he died to take the punishment for your sins and mine. The prophet Isaiah says, he was despised and rejected by men. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus in our place. That's why this man could be forgiven. That's why you can be forgiven. Jesus has died in your place. All over the world, all throughout this nation, people are looking for forgiveness, for redemption, for hope. With some people in our congregation I was speaking to last week who work as telephone counsellors for Lifeline and for the Salvation Army, people often ring for help, but often they'll just ring to admit their sins and their failures. They say what they've done and who they've hurt. They just can't cope with that. They're looking for absolution. They're looking for forgiveness. They're looking for redemption. There's even an apology sound-off line in Los Angeles, in fact. You don't ring a counsellor, you ring an answering machine where you can confess your sins and your failures. And 200 anonymous callers contact the service each day. They leave 60-second messages. People who just know that inside of them they're not living rightly and they need forgiveness, but too ashamed or too afraid to talk to a real person. Adultery is a common confession. Criminal acts, rape, child sexual abuse, even murder. A recovering alcoholic left this message. I'd like to apologise to all the people I hurt in my 18 years as an addict. The phone rings on. I just want to say sorry, sobs a young woman. Just caused a car accident in which 5 people died. I wish I could bring them back. But friends, the answering machine doesn't bring forgiveness. It doesn't bring reconciliation with God. There's only one person who does that. That's Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. When I discovered that message at the age of 15, I realized it was outrageous. It's grace. It's undeserved. It's God's mercy. It's getting what you don't deserve. It's not getting what you do deserve, which is judgment and eternal condemnation. That's why Good Friday is good. What will you do with this Jesus on Good Friday? Because every time you hear this message, you have a choice. You're really one of the two criminals. There's no one in between, by the way. Bible's perspective, you're either with Jesus or you're against Jesus. Passively, possibly, or actively, you're either against Jesus or you're for Jesus. And some people in this nation will continue, maybe in this gathering this morning, will continue to ignore Jesus, to ridicule him, to mock him, even until their final moments of their lives. But there is a better option this morning. That is to say, like that thief said, that criminal said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I admit my sin. I trust in Jesus' death and resurrection. I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Saviour. Jesus wrote one huge check when he died on the cross with his own blood. And he wrote, paid in full. You no longer have to be guilty. You no longer have to be filled with shame. But you've got to come to Jesus to deal with that. Find forgiveness, reconciliation, and a place in heaven. And let me say that I'm going to give you a chance in a little while to respond via our care cards. If you'd like to know more about Jesus and maybe would like to pray to become a follower of Jesus or start a relationship with him or maybe do a course that we have on offer or to read something. But let me say, those listening on 90.1 NBC FM this morning as well, if you'd like to get a copy of a Bible or a New Testament, if you'd like to read a book which helps explain this Christian message, just contact us on 95342699. Leave a message and we'll get back to you with any information. It's 95342699. Or you can email me directly at ange@nawibaptist.org.au. And we'd be happy to send you some information and answer your questions. But in this meeting here this morning, let me say, after the service, there's a visitors section and it's a notice board, and underneath there's a little ledge with a number of books. One of them's called The Search, which is the Gospel of Luke. More of the story that we've heard about this morning, the full story about the life of Jesus, please take one. They're free. There are a few books by a fellow called John Chapman, one on the cross, one on the Bible, one on making the most of the rest of your life. They're free. Please, if that would be of help to you, take those. There are some booklets called Two Ways to Live, The Choice We All Face. It is our greatest desire that you would know this outrageous love of Jesus and that we would journey with you, if necessary, to help you to know him, to support you, that you would know his peace and his love. But I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to pray a prayer that if this is your prayer and you wanted to start a relationship with Jesus, like that thief, to say, yes, Jesus, please remember me. I want to become one of your followers. You can pray this in your own heart. You don't have to do it out loud, but just pray it in your own heart. And let me lead you in prayer as we pray this. Lord God, thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us. I admit that I've done wrong, that I've sinned against you and against others, and I need your forgiveness. Please forgive me through the death of your son, Jesus. Thank you for his resurrection on the third day that guarantees that Good Friday works and that there is new life and eternal life to experience in relationship with you. Come and be my leader and my saviour, I pray. Help me to live a new life from this moment on. Thank you, Jesus, for your outrageous love. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.